Hallelujah. So enjoyable. We can sing all day long. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, I'm just enjoying this college training. We are on Mount Zion. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning's session line has been exercising the spirit to enjoy the Lord. And this is really the burden of this line, is that all of you, we all would enjoy the Lord more. Amen. Just considering about enjoying the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, in typology, did they enjoy the Lord? Yeah, they enjoyed the Lord. Did that Passover lamb, right? That bread, bitter herbs, right? And then they left Egypt. They got into the wilderness. Did they enjoy the Lord in the wilderness? Yeah, they had some manna. And they had that water flowing out of the cleft rock, right? And that manna was like wafers with honey. So sweet. But, you know, if you were one of the children of Israel, and if you were there in the, of course, in Egypt and in the wilderness, you would have a lot to look forward to concerning the enjoyment of Christ in the good land, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Our Christ is the reality. He's the all-inclusive good land for us to enjoy. And I think this is really, our heart is that even this message today about exercising the spirit to sing and give thanks to the Lord, this would help us to be ushered into more enjoyment of Christ. Amen. More enjoyment of Christ. Praise the Lord. I mean, just consider Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's prayer. He prayed that we would be strengthened into the inner man. Amen. Through his spirit, yeah. Right? With power, according to the riches of God's glory, that Christ may make his home in our heart, Amen. Right? And that we would eventually be full of, rooted and grounded in love. And we would be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth, height, length, and depth are. Right? To know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ. That, for what? That we may be filled. Amen. Filled unto all the fullness of God. And this is what the Lord wants. He wants us to be filled unto all the fullness of God for God's corporate expression. Amen. And to get to that point, we need to learn Amen. How to exercise our spirit. Amen. And it's been so good, exercising our spirit to call on the name of the Lord, to muse on the word of God, to pray to the Lord, and this morning to sing and give thanks to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And this matter of exercise, this singing has been really wonderful here in the college training. You know, Paul's word to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:7 is to exercise yourself unto godliness. And that word exercise, it's a exercise like in gymnastics. So it's good. We stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Oh, I've got rivers of life flowing out of my innermost being. I've got rivers of life flowing out of my innermost being. So Paul, when he says exercise unto godliness, we need to use our whole being. Our whole being, right? Our spirit, our soul, and our body. And the spirit that we're exercising is the mingled spirit. Like the brothers pointed out yesterday, it was so good. Wow, we not only have a human spirit, but our human spirit has been mingled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the life-giving Spirit, the seven spirits of God. So when you exercise your spirit, you touch the wonderful, processed, and consummated triune God who is the Spirit. It's wonderful. Okay, I have something to share with you from the life study of Philippians. And, you know, Mark and I, we're sharing this message, and we both feel like we are the trainees right now. As we are reading the Word, getting into the ministry, I feel like, Lord, I need more. I need more perfecting. I need to be trained how to exercise my spirit to sing to you. And here in this life study of Philippians, message 40, I want to read you a few lines. It says, we are still under the influence of the religion of Christianity, especially in the way we gather together for the meetings. Nowhere in the New Testament are Christians told that we should gather together and sit quietly, waiting for someone to start the meeting. Do you ever come to the meetings and you sit down, you're waiting for someone else to start the meeting? Oh, Lord. I think we're all guilty of this, right? According to the book of Psalms, when the children of Israel came together for the feast three times a year, they began their meetings not in the temple, but at the foot of Mount Zion. As they ascended the mountain, they psalmed the songs of ascent, Psalms 120 through 134. Likewise, the church meetings should begin not in the meeting hall, but either in your homes or on our way to the meeting. The meeting should be an exhibition of our daily life, of the way we live at home. How do you live at home? The way we live at school. The way we live at work. The meeting should be full of singing and praising because we sing and praise the Lord day by day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, and like I said, I feel like the singing's been just so wonderful here in the college training. But I would like to ask you, how about your daily life? Just consider how much, you know, just let's just kind of reflect over the last few messages. How much calling on the Lord is there in our daily life? How much musing on the Word of God is there? Oh, didn't you enjoy that message the other day about musing on the Word? It's obvious Brother Pat muses on the Word all day long, right? Praise the Lord. How about your prayer to the Lord? How about your singing? How about your singing? And I was just reminded, I was going over this. I remember this. You know, I really enjoy singing to the Lord. Can you tell? Yes. There's such a freedom. There's such a freedom to just, with your whole being, you just sing and praise the triune God. Yes. And I was remembering this time, I had only been saved for like 4 or 5 months, or I was in the church like 4 or 5 months. And there was three brothers. We got together one night. We were in our apartment, in my apartment. And we were just like, it was like 10, 11 o'clock. We're like, we were enjoying the Lord. We're like, let's go on campus. And we just walked around with our guitars, singing with our whole being. Just walked around campus and sang in every empty building there was. Praise the Lord, God sent his son. Hallelujah. Sanctifying the campus, building by building, quad by quad, rejoicing. Amen. It was wonderful. I was just enjoying this matter of, you know, I just enjoy the Lord. And I enjoy to sing. So I practice, like I told you all, I don't know if, I think I told you, I like to sing while I'm riding my bike. You know, so I live in downtown Atlanta, and there's this bikeway called the Beltline. You know, and I remember, yeah, this was a couple months ago, I was kind of going slow. It was a lazy ride. I was kind of tired. So I was getting some exercise, but I was going real slow, so. And I realized it's hard to sing uphill. It's easier to sing downhill. Logical. But I remember I was going uphill, and I was just singing. I was going kind of slow so I could sing. I was like, it's by calling Jesus, 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 every moment each day, calling on the name of Jesus. And every now and then I'd pass somebody. It's by calling Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it's great, you know, because I'm not going to see him again. Passive, you know. But, you know, I like to do this. This is my personal little thing I do. I just sing because, number one, I just love the Lord and I want to enjoy him. But it's kind of like hitting two birds with one stone. I'm enjoying the Lord and I'm infusing people with the name of Jesus. It's a simple gospel. You know, every time you sing, that's preaching the gospel. Amen. I remember this one time. Oh, yeah, just the other day. Last week, I was going downhill. Yeah. Had a long ride. I was exhausted. But there's this long, like, two-minute downhill. And I was enjoying this song. I've got a river of life flowing within me. And I mixed it up. And you have to realize, saints, you have to learn how to sing with grace in your hearts to God. And just, we need to all be delivered from all formality, all religion. You know, especially when you're by yourself, Jesus, freestyle. So I'm like riding down, I'm going downhill, I'm all rested. I said, I've got a river of life. I passed someone again, I've got a river of life. I've got a river of life flowing within me. You just enjoy the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we need to learn how to exercise our spirit. To sing to the Lord. At home, at school, at work, on the Beltline, in our daily life. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I was driving the other day, and so two young women pulled up next to me. They were singing with their whole being. And they weren't singing hymns. But I was like, wow. I mean, they were like, they were singing. They knew all the words. They had them memorized. You know? I was like, I've got a river of life. You know, Lord Jesus. You just need to enjoy the Lord. Okay. A little word from the life study. Brother Lee brings out this matter of being formal and religious. We really need to be delivered from formality, from religion. And we just need to let our spirit flow. I experienced this, and I know you all experienced this. The Lord, like we sang, he's the flowing triune God. He's inside our spirit. Sometimes as we're going to the meeting, the Lord wells up a song. Right, Bobby? A song just comes up. But often, because we're self-conscious, and maybe we're all, I mean, religion is just in our blood, right? It's just part of the natural human life. And we have this flow, a song is welling up, and we just don't sing it. But brothers and sisters, just let your spirit flow. If you come to a meeting, even before you sit down, just start singing. Just start singing. Just let the spirit flow. Just be released from, you know, your religious thoughts. And I've had this experience, you know, and some of the saints in Atlanta know this. I've been trying to just follow the Lord, follow the flow of life. Sometime I'll be in a meeting, and, you know, I guess our God is not a God of confusion, right? Okay, so I'm not saying just be wild and crazy just in a natural way, but just let your spirit flow. So I've been in meetings recently, and there's a song welling up, a hymn welling up. And I use my phone. So the hymnal, I can't get to the index fast. And there's a flow. And finally, I'm just like, saints, let's sing that one song that goes, that has a line that does anybody know where that is? that's okay. It's okay. Maybe some would be bothered this because maybe some, and their formal religious custom would be, brothers and sisters, let us sing hymn number 1141. That's nice and orderly. Maybe the Lord is flowing that way, you know. But sometimes, I know you've all had this experience. A hymn just wells up. The Lord's just like, he's bubbling. And you're just like, what's that song? I don't remember the number. Hey, Marco, do you remember that one song? And then eventually, somebody calls a song. I've had this experience before. Sometimes the Lord is flowing in the body, right? Sometimes he flows. He might flow into Mark, and Mark will call that song. And it's like, yeah, that's the Lord. Okay, I'm like, phew. But sometimes Bobby might call a song, and it's not that song. And when we sing it, there's no flow. You know, because sometimes, you know, sometimes do saints always call the hymn the Lord wants us to sing? No, sometimes not, right? Sometimes not. It's okay, Bobby. No, but then you should have just obeyed the flow. You should have obeyed the flow. Just be delivered. Be delivered. Enjoy the Lord in your spirit. Let the spirit flow. Okay, and also singing at any time as the Lord leads. And we're going to see that in the outlining a little bit here in Acts 16. Okay, also, just for our perfecting a little bit. You know, it really grieves me sometimes, and sometimes it's my fault. And you bring a new one or a friend to the meeting. You ever had this experience? You bring a new one, a friend, or maybe a brother or sister that hasn't been coming to the meetings in a while, but the Lord is shepherding them back, come to the meeting, and we're there singing, and the singing is just dead. Have you had that experience? Right? So, that's terrible, right? Because this is an opportunity for this little lamb that the Lord brought to the meeting, for them to be enlivened, for them to be shepherded, for them to be watered, for them to be encouraged, to be brought into the joy of the Lord. And I thought about this. I was considering this. And on the flip side, you know what a great illustration in the New Testament is of a meeting of the church? Let me show you. Okay. Luke 15. You guys like Luke 15? Raise your hand if you're just happy you're in the Father's house. Praise the Lord. Listen to this description. Father said to his slaves, "Bring out quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, and bring the fat calf, slaughter it, and let us eat and be merry. We're going to have a party. Because this son of mine was dead and lives again. He was lost and has been found." And they began to be merry. And the older son, what about that older son? The older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, what did he hear? Oh, come on. You all know? He heard music and dancing. That's how the meeting should be. How about that? Music and dancing. Music and dancing. Maybe not outwardly, you know, but in your spirit, you are dancing. In your spirit, you are just enjoying the Lord, and you're just full of the joy of the Lord. And when these lambs that the Lord brings to our meetings, you know, when they experience this, wow, everybody looks so good. They got the best robe. They got these rings. They got these sandals. They're clothed with Christ, with the garments of salvation. The Holy Spirit is there as the ring. They're all enjoying God's salvation, signified by the sandals. It's sanctified, separated from the world. And they are happy because they are enjoying Christ as the fattened calf. And there's music. And there's dancing. You know, this is just like in the book of Acts. You know, the big church there was the church in Jerusalem, right? Stephen was martyred. Remember, he was stoned and they were all scattered. And all of a sudden, there's some in Antioch. There was a group of saints, a group of new believers. They were raised up there, and the brothers sent down Barnabas to check out the situation. And you know what it says? It says when Barnabas arrived to see those new believers there in Antioch, it says, and when he arrived and saw the grace of God, he saw the grace of God. He saw those things. Now listen to this footnote. There's a footnote here on the grace. It says, the grace that was seen by Barnabas must have been the triune God received and enjoyed by the believers and expressed in their salvation, change in life, holy living, and the gifts they exercised in their meetings, all of which could be seen by others. When some come to our meetings, they need to see the grace of God. They see the grace of God when we are exercising our spirit, singing to the Lord, and enjoying Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, let me move on to Acts. Okay, let's look at the outline here. Okay, and let's read this verse, or the Roman one. Go. Acts 16:25 says, okay, in the context of here in Acts 16, this is a chapter that is on the Lord's move to Europe. Did you know that? Yeah. You'll see. Okay, so briefly, the background of this verse here in 25 is Saul and Silas, Paul and Silas, they were down in this city called Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul during the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing and entreating him and saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And Macedonia, if I'm not mistaken, is like north, where northeastern Greece is, like just the south, the southern region, like right there south of Bulgaria. Is that right? Is that Europe? Yep. Lord's moved to Europe. There you go. Okay, so they fellowshiped and they concluded that God had called them to announce the gospel to them. Okay, so they went there. They went to Macedonia, to Philippi. And there they preached the gospel, and there was this woman, Lydia. She believed in the Lord, and her whole household, they got saved. And the saints, they were going down to this place of prayer, and there was a certain slave girl having a spirit of Python that met them. This woman, she was possessed by a demon. And she brought her masters much profit by divining. And she was like following them around. And I think it says for days. For days, this demon-possessed woman was following them. And I'm going to read this like how I read the Bible to my kids. It's called dramatized Bible. And she followed after Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are slaves of the Most High God who announced to you a way of salvation. And she was doing that for days. Many days. I don't know how Paul could take that. But finally, it says Paul was greatly disturbed. He turned and said to the spirit, the demon inside this woman, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. And her masters saw that their hope of profit had gone out. They laid hold of Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers, brought them to the magistrates. And they said, these men are throwing our city into confusion. Then the whole crowd rose up together against them. This is in Philippi. The magistrates tore off their garments and ordered some to beat them with rods. They laid many stripes upon them, and they threw them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them securely. And they threw them into the inner prison and secured their feet in the stocks. You know what stocks are? It's like this wooden instrument of torture that had holes for the neck, the wrists, and the feet. I don't know how that... They were tortured. And it says in verse 25, read it again, go. And about midnight, Paul and Silas, while praying, sang hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Amen. Hallelujah. I really enjoy this. While praying. Have you ever prayed with another brother or a group of saints, and they're all praying, and just interrupted and just busted out singing? You have? Good. Good. You're probably letting your spirit flow. Where's Kelana? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We just enjoy the Lord, right? Right, Bobby? When we have our I don't like this term, coordination meeting. I don't like this. For the full-timers, do they call that in other cities coordination meeting? Should be like exercising our spirit to enjoy the Lord meeting. Yeah. Right? And sometimes we're praying, and somebody prays something. Like, oh Lord, water the students today. Oh Lord, water them. Water Sister Jenny. Oh Lord, water them. And all of a sudden, Shetlana, I've got a river of life flowing within me. And we just sing. This should be, the Spirit flows like this. This is how the Lord flows. I like this. While praying, they sang hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when we sing hymns, you know, this hasn't happened much, but maybe it's happened much even in the college training. You know, sometimes when we're singing, we're just so full of the Lord and the enjoyment. Our eyes are just wide open. We're just enjoying the Lord. But sometimes, if you get a little self-conscious, it's okay to close your eyes. And, you know, sometimes I do this. Sometimes I close my eyes because I'm a little self-conscious. Sometimes I close my eyes because I don't want to see you. I just want to see Jesus. Like, even in a meeting, you know, I'll close my eyes and I'm just like, and I just have my little, oh, Lord Jesus, it's just so sweet. There's a mingling there, and I just want to enjoy that for a little bit and then feel, okay, open my eyes again. I've got a river of life. Praise the Lord. But, amen. Saints, we need to be delivered from all formality, all of our religion, Lord Jesus. And in our daily life and in the meeting life, sometimes, yeah, going back to the meetings that are sometimes dead. Sometimes the meetings are dead. It's not because we don't necessarily know how to exercise our spirit in the meeting. It's because of a lack in our daily life. We need to learn how to just enjoy the Lord in our daily life. Calling, musing on the word, and singing. And praise the Lord. We'll be enjoying him so much more. Okay. I'll wrap this up. I want you later, if you have some time, read that booklet on praising. There's a really rich portion on Acts chapter 16 about Paul and Silas. I wanted to read that, but I don't have time. So I just want to close with this. I'll close with this. I like those cross references in this verse, Acts 16:25. I looked up the cross references for midnight. Midnight. Okay, listen to this. Psalm 42:8. By day, Jehovah commands his loving kindness, and by night, his song is with me. Did you know that? There's a verse in the Bible that talks about his song, God's song. Do you know that song? Life flowing within. Amen. That's right. You know? Okay. There's a verse in Revelation 15:3 uses this phrase, the song of the Lamb. How about that? The song of the Lamb. And in Psalm 137, verse 3, talks about the songs of Zion. Psalm 137, verse 4, the song of Jehovah. Praise the Lord. And let me read you this quote that Mark sent me. This is John Wesley. It says, okay, in the words of John Wesley, sing lustily. You know what that means? What? Vigor. Full of strength. In a healthy way. Okay? Sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half dead. Or half asleep. Beware. But lift up your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of its being heard than when you sung the songs of Satan. The songs of Satan. You know what the songs of Satan are? Every other song that is not his song, you know, God's song, the song of Jehovah, the song of the Lamb, or the songs of Zion. Oh, Lord, in our past, right, brothers and sisters, so many times, even through these holy lips, right, we sing the songs of Satan. Lord, oh, Lord Jesus, we repent. And Lord, we're here to sing the songs of Zion, the songs of the Lamb, the song of Jehovah. Praise the Lord. We just need to enjoy the Lord more, singing to him. Here's another one. I remember my song of the night. I muse with my own heart, and my spirit carefully searches. Amen. Well, Mark has a lot to say, so I'm just going to stop right here. Amen.
Then rejoice evermore, rejoice evermore. Better to sing. It is better to live than be dying. So let us rejoice evermore. Hallelujah for singing.
Amen.
I think this is my favorite message, probably because I got into it. And I'm like Carlos. I love to sing to the Lord. I remember when I was maybe 10 or 12, and I went to I think it was a sixth grade conference, actually. And I saw two sisters singing to the Lord. And there were no serving ones around them. And you might think that's not a big deal, but to me, that was a big deal. That touched me. And they were singing, they were playing guitar, and they were 10 or 12 years old. And they were singing to the Lord. And I'm sure many of you did this, and maybe all of you have done this. But I came back from that, and I had a fresh consecration. Lord, I want to love you like that. I want to love you in such a sweet way, where I don't have to worry about any formality. I don't have to worry about anyone thinks of me. I just want to be able to sing to you. And I went home, and I got a guitar from my dad, and I started learning, and I started singing Howard Higashi songs like, Lord, I just love you. And what made you, Lord, to die for me? And I would sing those in my room over and over until I learned how to play them, and I fell in love with the Lord. Just fell in love with the Lord. If you've never sung those songs by yourself, you should sing those songs to the Lord. I'm so impressed that every message in all these, this line that we're in, exercising the spirit to enjoy the Lord. Amen. I just feel like they are displaying the Lord's jealousy over us. Amen. Because we have so many ways to exercise our spirit. Isn't that good? 1 Corinthians 11, 2. What are the first five words? For I am jealous over you. Hallelujah. He's jealous over us. He's giving us so many ways. Muse on his word. Call on his name. Sing to the Lord. And I just want to impress you that the Lord has done so much for us to release our spirit to sing to him. You know how much he's done? He has passed through so many processes. There is a section, I just want to impress you with this, the Lord's desire to come forth within you with praise and song and lauding melodies, okay? In Luke 12, there's a section that says, the subtitle is Longing to be Released Through His Death. And the significance of this section is the Lord's glorification, you know? And where he was, when he was in the flesh as a man, he was actually constrained and he was constricted because there was something within him. You know, there was something within him? It was the glory of God. It was the glory of Christ's divinity. And in Luke 12, I've come to cast fire on the earth. I've come to cast fire. I used to read that, and I had no idea what that meant. I thought the Lord was angry. But actually, this is totally different. He says, and I have a baptism to be baptized with, referring to his death and crucifixion, and I am pressed until it is accomplished. That means he is constricted and constrained. It's almost like I have to go to the cross so that my divine life can be released. And the release of his divine life, in the footnote, it says that divine life, the fire that he was going to cast, is the impulse of his divine life in resurrection. Okay, the Lord is seeking to be released in us, through our singing and our praise. And now he has come into humanity, and the next step is for us to release him. Saints, he's done so much. But how often do we come to a meeting and we stifle, we constrict. We ourselves become the constriction. That humanity is again a constriction for the Lord's divine life. Well, saints, this word impulse, I just want to say, I looked up the definition because I love this word impulse. It's a sudden, strong, and unreflective urge or desire to act, a driving or motivating force, an itch, a stimulus, a catalyst, spur, thrust. You ever feel like this in the meetings? Carlos was mentioning sometimes you're in the meetings and maybe there's a song within me. And Carlos did this. I've got rivers of life. What if he didn't do that? Then we would have lost something, right? We would have lost some of the flow that the Lord was within him. Okay, so there's a burden, and that is we need to catch the impulse. When the Lord is flowing, catch the impulse. And one thing that, there's two things in the reading. If you get to the reading on this section, we need to have two releases. We need to be released from ourself. You can write this down. We need to be released from ourself. How many times is ourself just like a pruny raisin, you know? That's just, I got that visual this morning. I just felt like sometimes I come to the meeting and I'm just like a pruny raisin. But the Lord's life is able to make you like a robust grape, you know? Don't you feel like, so some of my favorite experiences are eating the perfect grape. If anyone knows, it's like stepping on a crunchy leaf or something. It's the perfect grape, has the perfect pop. And you wonder, how is the juice still in here? I wonder that sometimes. How is it not bursting out? Right? That's how we should be in the meetings. And sometimes when we're like that and we don't release the divine life, I feel like I leave and I'm just like a raisin. And I just didn't release. There was no pop. We need to learn how to burst forth. Yeah. Break forth. Yeah. Release the divine life. The Lord has gone through so much. Hallelujah. I want to echo Carlos's word on formality. Instead of sighing in Acts 16, or instead of singing in Acts 16, Paul and Silas could have been sighing. They really had reason to sigh. They did. They were beaten with rods, it says. They were in stocks, and they were thrown into prison. They didn't say just, okay, now that's your cell. It says they threw them into prison. I don't even like when anyone touches me. Someone threw them. They had so much reason, but they were in the stocks. What did it say they were doing? While praying, they sang hymns of praise to God. There's something about this. You know, I don't think that it says while they were praying, you know, they were praying, and then Silas, maybe it's Paul, what do you think about singing hymn two? You know, I think maybe they were praying that they were worthy to be counted. They were worthy to be counted dishonored on behalf of the name. Thank you, Lord. We're counted worthy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. And then maybe Paul. Then rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. It's better to sing than be sighing. It is better to live than be dying. So let us rejoice evermore. I think that's what their time was like. I think there was just a flow of life, and there was no formality. And a brother shared that, you know, when he hears the word formality, he thinks of the word formaldehyde. You can associate formality with formaldehyde. What is formaldehyde? Does anyone know what it does? It preserves dead things. Its primary purpose in embalming fluids is to preserve dead things. If you've ever been in biology, you've done dissections, what's the first thing you walk in the room? There's a smell. It's terrible. That's why I didn't take biology. I hate science, but I love to sing. So formality is so stinky, you know? It just stinks. There's nothing worse than formality. We have proper reverence in the meetings, and we're not confused, and we're not insane. But we're crazy. We're crazy lovers of Jesus. And even in 2 Corinthians 5, you know, Paul said, for whether we are besides ourselves, it was to God. Or whether we are sober-minded, it is for you. He said beside ourselves. And actually, that word beside ourselves is, it cross-references insane there in Acts 26. So, actually, in the reading, it says, if you've never been beside yourself before God, you are an abnormal Christian. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to answer, but have you ever been beside yourself before God in His presence? Just beside yourself. In another realm. Saints, if you sing to the Lord with your spirit, especially in your daily life, in your morning time, you will be beside yourself. You know, if we live only by our feelings, you know, we'll only sing when things are going well, right? I was thinking of the Psalms. You know, what are the Psalms? The Psalms are songs. Yeah. And there's one Psalm in Psalm 51 where David, he has this great exposure, this great failure, and he just has to confess. So was that a prayer or was that a song? It was both. Have you ever sung your confession to the Lord? I tried this and I was released. It was amazing. I felt the Lord was right there kissing me. It doesn't have to be as bad of a confession as David's confession. You can just, you know, you've sung this actually before. Cast me not away from your presence. Sometimes we're just far off and we need to confess, Lord, I've been away from you and I need to come back. I know we've all sung this song before, but how many times have we sung it to the Lord as a confession? Next time you sing this, just, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. There's no formality there, right? There's no formality. There was, I had an experience this last May when our grandmother passed away, and we had to go to her funeral in May. And it was, she has two sons, and one is my dad, and our uncle is a dear believer, but he's not in the church life, but he's a dear believer. But we had the feeling that we needed to bring in an atmosphere to that time. And we prepared a little something with some hymns on it, and immediately when we arrived. And after we took the casket, we set it down, and there was an atmosphere there of death. It's a funeral, so. And there was a lot of her old friends and a lot of people we didn't know. But that didn't matter because we're the ones related to her. So my dad came to me and he said, we're not going to stand with this atmosphere. And we had brought our guitars, and I didn't know if I should bring it, but he said, go get the guitar. And so we knew that our uncle didn't want it to be that long, and he didn't want us to sing that much, but we didn't really care. And we knew there was a need to fight to have the right kind of atmosphere. Saints, we have to fight to bring in the atmosphere to a meeting. It doesn't just come. There's nothing magical about this building. We meet in a school in Knoxville. When we step through the threshold of that door, it doesn't mean that the Spirit is just automatically present. It's just a school. But we bring the meeting to the meeting. We are the atmosphere of the meeting. So we sang at that funeral side, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. And when we started singing, the atmosphere was enriched and uplifted, and the testimonies were able to come forth to present the gospel. If there was no atmosphere, do you think the gospel would have been that impactful? No, it would not have been. We fight against formality. Hallelujah. We bring in the atmosphere. I just believe that in Acts 16, the Lord was the one who was happy. You know, Paul and Silas, they looked happy, but actually the Lord was happy because he was not bound. He was not bound. The prisoners, Paul and Silas, they were able to release the Spirit. It has that utterance in this reading, release the Spirit. So they released him through their release. They were released from themselves, and they released the Spirit. Hallelujah. So there's so much to say about this, saints. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 14. Do you know it says, what then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the mind. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing also with the mind. I just like to see saints singing with their spirit. Actually, with your entire being. You know our verse? We memorized Mark 12:30. That has every part of our being. Even our strength. Sometimes I'm guilty of all of this, saints. I'm guilty of being dead to the uttermost. But sometimes we sing and it's just like voiceless singing. Have you ever done that? You just move your mouth and everyone else kind of carries the tune. The Lord wants us to sing with our spirit. With our heart, our whole heart. How can you sing a song like 723 without your heart? His love has no limit. That's one of my favorite hymns. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. Oh, Lord Jesus, our whole heart, and a cheerful countenance, too. Have you ever sung with a cheerful countenance? It's hard not to sing with a cheerful countenance when you're singing to someone else, right? But when you're looking at your book, that's why it's good to put our books down. It's easy to see others unless you need to close your eyes and just sing to the Lord. But Proverbs 15:13 says, a joyful heart makes a cheerful countenance. Saints, the Lord wants us to be happy. Amen. He wants us to be happy when we sing to Him and when we release our spirit. I just have a couple. I'll just share a few experiences and end. But you know, a lot of you have taken the word and put it to music, right? How many of you have tried to take a verse, a scripture, and just put a tune to it? Has anyone tried that? It's really not that hard. One time we did this, like I was with two brothers, and we did this in a room. We just made up a song. I think it was Romans 15:13. And we had that song, and we made it, and like it was really bad. We made it in like 5 minutes, and we left to go preach the gospel. And the first guy we met, we just said, we don't normally do this, but we're like, "What, do you have a favorite verse?" You know what he said? Romans 15:13. What do you think we did? We sang to him. And we sang. It was not a good song, but we sang to him. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit." Done. And we sang, and he just said, "That's nice." Yeah. But we were released. And we ended up, I think, reading the Bible with them for the next 9 or 13 weeks or something. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be good. This is a wonderful way to hide the Word of God in your heart. How else are we going to hide the Word of God in our hearts, right? It needs to be hidden in our heart. And whether you think you can sing or not, the outline says, "Oh Lord, the outline. We love you. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord Jesus." The outline says, let's all read Roman numeral 2. "We must learn to exercise and open our spirit by singing." Brothers on A. Sisters B. Purified. Amen. Brothers.
"The more we sing, the more we live out of our mind and forget about our circumstances. The more we sing, the more we are in the Spirit, and the more our spirit is open and released."
Amen. Sisters. Amen. Our singing is a test of whether or not we are in the Spirit. Isn't that good? Oh, Lord Jesus, make us ones who are always singing to you. You know, we need to practice this too. It's not something that I don't know who's good at it. We're just all learners. We're just all practicing. I remember three times in college, three instances, on the way to the meeting with the brothers in the car, I tried to sing. You know, we need to practice by ourselves, but also together, to bring the meeting to the meeting. And one time I tried in the car, hoping for a response, "Jesus, Lord, you're our first love." And then there was nothing. And I remember that. And I was like, "Lord." I'm looking at Bobby, but Bobby didn't. I don't think you did that. I don't think I was you. Because another time, I remember being in the car with all the, you know, four brothers, and we were all singing. Someone started a song, but this time, someone else joined in. You know, it takes another person to join in. You need to deny yourself and join in to support the saints. When they push out their spirit, we should push out our spirit. And we all started singing. And we were singing together on the way to the meeting, but we were all looking out the window. Jesus, you know, we were all looking out our respective windows. Not just, whatever you do, don't look at each other. And then a little later on in college, the third time, I remember when we were driving to the meeting and we were released. We were released. And I think Bobby was in the car. And we just enjoyed the Lord so much on the way to the meeting. And we contributed to the meeting. I was an asset to the meeting. You know, we need to have this prayer, "Lord, I'm not going to be a bystander in this meeting. I'm not going to be a bystander. I'm not just going to be a spectator. I'm going to be a participant in this meeting. I took that from Carlos. You didn't share it. And Dick Taylor shared it. Hallelujah. We're in the divine party. Hallelujah. And anyway, saints, I just love this. I love to sing. And the Lord loves to hear our voice. You know, this is the last thing, and I'll sit down, is when I was courting my wife, I would wake up. She had to wake up very early to go to work, like 4:30, and I was not up at the time. But when I woke up, I would usually have a text. A lot of times I'd have a text, and a lot of times it was an audio text. I got really excited because I wasn't just reading. I could listen to it, and a lot of times it was a song. It's a song, and I would listen to it, re-listen to it, again, and then I'd record my own, fire it back, and I was like, wow, this is so sweet, you know, and I realized, you know, this is how the Lord is. I think He really loves when we pray to Him, but when we sing to Him, it's so sweet. It's even sweeter. So, oh Lord, we want to be deshackled and unbound from ourselves, and we want to release You in all the meetings of the church and in our daily life, so that our daily life can lead to a rich exhibition of Christ in the meeting life. Do we have time for some sharing? I know all of you have many experiences of this.